Talking about those three horrific words that can enter your one's life, finding a lump, it is enough to strike fear in anyone. And facing this fear, and in fact finding a lump and then having a testicle replaced with the prosthesis, led the Dublin actor and comedian Conor Drum to realise that the other things in life that he had feared were perhaps a little less scary than he thought, and that it was time to get on with his dream of stand-up. And Conor has now written a show about his experience called Nut Job. He's currently running at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. He joins us now. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Mr. Tubridy. How are you?
Very good to talk to you. And obviously, Nut Job, you do what it says in the tin.
Well, I don't take them out.
Oh, that's a relief.
That's what you're worried about. it's going well. I've been doing it every day, except Sundays, at 3:45 in an Irish pub, funnily enough, called Finnegan's Wake in the Edinburgh Fringe. And it's been pretty well received, so I'm happy with it. Yeah.
Good. Well, congratulations on that. Not an easy thing to do. We'll talk about it in a second. But let's talk about finding out about the lump. When did that day come along?
It was coming up on 5 years ago. It was something that I was aware of, something that I kept an eye out for. And one day I was having a shower, and next thing you know, I found something that wasn't right, and I went to the doctor. And then she referred, she said it wasn't serious, but I was confident it was. So ended up paying for my own scan the next day. And the fears were relatively confirmed, although they can't really tell much from the ultrasound immediately, other than they know something's not quite right. It was, I was, as I said in the article, I was trying to lighten the mood when I first went in, and I was, because ultrasound, you think babies and stuff like that, I certainly did. So I asked him not to reveal the sex of my testicles because I wanted to be a surprise. But no, he didn't laugh at all.
No, because it was bad news. Can I ask you about the nature of the lump, by the way? I mean, size-wise, are you talking about the size of a pea, or are you talking about the size of, bigger?
Oh yeah, it was quite small, all right. I'm well used to that area.
Spend a lot of time on your own. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you've got to get to know yourself. Yeah, basically, it was maybe a little bit smaller than the pea, quite firm. To be honest with you, the strange thing about it that I noticed immediately is I could feel it with my fingers, but I couldn't feel it inside me, as in there was no kind of pain as such.
Yeah, I understand. And you were 27, so what were you doing with yourself at the time, work-wise?
Well, at the time, I was just kind of, as I discussed in the show as well, I was kind of just, I was a bit late finishing college and stuff, and I was just kind of getting my... things were starting to go in the right direction. I was working in a restaurant and stuff, but I'd moved out, had my own sort of place, sharing with a few people. I'd gotten myself an agent, and I was starting to get more and more auditions, and there was definitely a sense of kind of traction, and things were happening, and then that happened. But what can you do?
Well, that's a game changer, to say the least. And when they said it to you, I know you were probably joking about it in that kind of Irish way. You find the humour in the darkness. Did you have a kind of a moment when you got home and thought, "Jay, where's this going?"
Definitely. And when I was driving home in the car, I remember getting a bit upset about it because I knew it was going to be tough for at least the foreseeable future. So when I got home, I went over to the parents, and they were like, "Well, maybe it's nothing." I'm like, "No," they told me.
How did they respond?
Maybe in private they were more upset than they let on. But they weren't happy. That's for sure. They were great though. Everyone around me was great. It's just as I discussed in the show, and I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to bring it over there at some point. That when something like this happens to you, and hopefully it doesn't, or anyone else, but people don't know what to say, and they try and help you out by giving you advice and stuff. But all you want to hear is that you're going to be okay, and you only want to hear that from the doctor. But people ring you up and call over and give you advice. Again, as I mentioned in the article, like one of my dad's friends called over and said, "Well, look, you're lucky. Think about it this way. If it kills you, at least you know what killed you." And that doesn't make me feel better at all.
No.
My brother-in-law called over and said he'd been doing some Googling, and I'd had a chest infection for a while at that point. And he said, "You still have a chest infection?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I've been doing some Googling." I go, "Okay, great." And he says, just to keep an eye out for the chest infection because it goes balls, lungs, brain. So sorry, that didn't make me feel much better.
No, you're hanging around with the wrong people in that regard. It seems to be an issue.
You don't know what to say. I understand why they do it. But so went ahead and had the operation and so on, I'm fine.
Did you have an option whether you wanted to keep one of your testicles or not? Or was it a fait accompli as to the removal of one of them?
Well, no, because I caught it so early and it was so small, my urologist wanted to go in and just remove that part because it was at the bottom of the right one. And I'm not a doctor. He wanted to give that a go, and we did that. And then after the histology, they realized, well, this is probably not something you want to mess around with. So we decided to go in and remove the rest, and that's when I got the nut job.
The nut job, yes, and hence the title of your show, rather clever title of your show. Can you tell me about the prosthesis? Is it genuine looking, or is it very obviously?
Oh, Ryan did a bang up job. Honestly, the new one looks about 10 years younger than the old one. It's amazing.
But is it very noticeably a prosthetic? I mean, there's no.
No, absolutely not.
Really?
No, you wouldn't like. Honestly, it's like you can't place spot the differences. I mean, if you were to get right up close, you might notice, but that doesn't happen to many people, so
yeah,
I haven't had that problem. But no, definitely, you wouldn't notice it by sight. And for the first while, it took a while to get used to, but now it is a pretty silly thing, to be honest with you, because it's not like you need it for anything. But it's there, and it's doing its job, which is to just sit around doing nothing.
Okay, which it's good at doing, obviously. You had another scare late last year. What happened there?
Oh, well, that was a nightmare because the first time was bad, you know. And luckily, I was very lucky because I got to dodge chemo and everything. I just had to get, tests every 3 months or so. And then I got to the point where 6 monthly tests and everything was fine. Mm-hmm. And then last Christmas, I was getting another... No, not last Christmas. Christmas before at this stage. I was getting another scan. I'd just gotten back in from London. I remember that morning. For Christmas, and basically there was another problem, and it all worked out fine in the end. It turned out to be nothing. But again, I kind of the article when I read it, I was just like, oh dear, I've kind of given a lot of the story away.
Yeah.
So, but basically, spoiler alert, I didn't die. So,
yeah,
it's all fine. And everything works, and there's still two. It's just one's an imposter.
We hear a lot about women talking about freezing their eggs, and in terms of planning for the future. What advice were you given about your future and possibly being a dad?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's something I'd never considered before. It was something I just assumed would happen in time, and then I was kind of forced to think about it, which was odd. And when it first happened, initially there was nothing they wanted to do. I didn't have to do any freezing or anything like that. But the second time around, because there was a danger of actually, you know, losing the second one, I was sent into a fertility center to say it was an odd experience, to say the least, you know. I just remember I had to see a counselor before I went in. And it was really strange. She said, like, a lot of men have problems performing in this area, you know, under this kind of pressure. And I was like, look, I've been practicing for maybe 16 years. Like, I could do it in traffic.
I hope you don't.
You
had to deliver on the demand made of you during that appointment.
Yeah, and then a few days later, I got one of the proudest phone calls I can remember. And the doctor rang me up and said, well, we've got a good sample here. Very impressive. Well,
congratulations. And you're okay. I mean, I'm laughing, but obviously this is what happens. And this is a matter of fact. But,
Oh, no. Well, now I have. Actually, he told me, I didn't. Again, I'm giving a lot of the show away, but there's a lot more to it as well. But I was told the first sample was fine and it would be unnecessary to come in again, but I'd been booked in for 3, and I said, no, I'm not taking any risks, I'm coming in for 3, and now I could feasibly have 250,000 children.
A quarter of a million children.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, congratulations, albeit in a hypothetical sense, on all of that work. That's good work, repopulating the planet. You're doing the show, the stand-up thing. Is that what you want to pursue from now on, Connor? I mean, I know you're acting is in there.
Well, here's the thing. I've been doing acting for quite a few years.
Yeah.
I started doing little bits in school here and there. And then when I was in UCD, I was doing a few plays and stuff. And I really started writing and trying to make little things. And it was definitely something I wanted to do, and it still is. It's just a few years ago, around the time this first happened, I was getting terribly frustrated, you know, because I wasn't getting seen for enough things. I couldn't get myself in the room. You know, it's all about if you get a decent agent, you can get into something decent. It's a vicious cycle kind of thing. But I managed to break it. I had an agent, but she maybe wasn't able to do.
Didn't work out for you. Yeah.
But I just said, you know, stand up is something I always looked at and thought, I think I could do that, but I was a bit scared to, you know.
Yes.
And this time, or basically, I just decided to give it a crack, and I was pretty terrible the first time. My ideas were there, but I made so many rookie mistakes. It was unbelievable. I got heckled so badly. But I ended up just sticking with it. I gave myself a few goes. I said, if I don't like it after the fifth, then I'll stop.
Yeah.
But I knew after the first, I'll keep going with this. And now it's kind of taken over a bit, but the best thing about it is, unlike the acting, you're not waiting for the phone to ring. It's something that you have control over. You write, and then you go and produce it, and you can find a place to do it somewhere. And it's instant. You know if it's working or not straight away.
Did you ever pray?
No.
No, you're not a praying man.
No, I used to be, and then I kind of just grew out of it.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about it this morning because there's a big, you know, the Knock down in Mayo have done this big campaign about praying, and we were asking each other, does anyone here pray? Does anyone ever pray anymore? You know, just talking to you about your thing, you know, where did you go to say, God, I'd love a handout here? You know, are you spiritual or religious or?
No, well, I mean, I'm not. My dad is, and like, I respect people who are, but at the same time, if you really get down to the nuts and bolts, it's like, well, if God's going to answer my prayers, why did he give me this thing in the first place?
Well, there you are. And if you know, no, that's what you see. You see a catastrophe, or if you see the kids being bandaged and bloodied in Syria or killed in Israel or wherever it might be in the Middle East, you think, what class of God does that, don't you? And then people who love God might say, well, these things are sent to test us. So it depends on what side of that fence you're on. Connor, I didn't mean to take up that path. It just came
that's
in.
That's okay. Just by the way, I need to mention that Catherine Conroy actually wrote the article, in the Irish Times. Now, it was supposed to be an in conversation with me.
Yeah.
But they're all my words. She just made them coherent.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I had to say that.
Yeah, sure.
Because she didn't get the credit on the paper. She did on the website, but, you know.
On the paper. Well, that sets the record straight. Connor, good luck in everything you do, and thanks for your time this morning.
Listen, Ryan, thanks very much.
Good to talk to you. I wish you well. That's Connor Drum, who's responsible for the show Nut Job. It's running at the Edinburgh Fringe all this week as part of the Free Fringe. He's on Twitter, at Connor Drum, C-O-N-O-R-D-R-U-M.